So what we're experiencing right now in the here and now in this place is an earth that is in decay. Even our bodies are in decay. Sin has come into the world and things are deteriorating. It's still a beautiful place and all that good stuff. Hey, yeah, give to the World Wildlife Federation and all that happy things. But we are in a world that is, instead of evolving toward greatness, it is devolving toward decay. And it is consistently going that way. And as it pertains to our personal lives, what that means is we are in a world and we're moving toward earthly death. And that's just the way it is, you know? That's how it's rolling. None of us are getting prettier by the day. Well, some of you are, but I'm not. And we're moving toward death. And the way it works out in our individual lives and our everyday lives is this world, while Jesus is reigning, Jesus has authority, and nothing passes in our life that doesn't pass by the desk of God, that he stamps and says, okay, I'll allow that. The enemy still does have home court advantage here. Satan is around the place, and he does have his guys doing their thing. You are in a battle. You're in a spiritual battle. Whether you know it or not, you're in the fight. Now, you may not be engaged in the fight, and if you're not engaged in the fight, guess what? You're losing. But there is a battle for your heart, for your soul, for your mind, for everything. And what that means for us right now is, with the enemy still being running loose, and the Bible says he's running to and fro, looking who he can devour, who he can eat up, who he can destroy. He's trying to do that. What it means for us is that we don't have home court advantage, but we still experience the kingdom of God. Why? Because when Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, divine person, and the Spirit of God lives inside those who've placed their faith in him, those who have committed their lives to him. And that's how we live. Now, we don't always live by the Spirit, but we have the Spirit in us. We don't always say yes to the Spirit because we have the enemy fighting against us, and sometimes we lose in those battles and in those wars, and we just keep going and keep growing and keep trusting, we hope, or we kind of drop out and take a defeat at least for a little while. That's the battle. That's the tension that we have. And we read last week where Jesus returned. He defeated these enemies. There was a seven-year tribulation. And for 1,000 years, Jesus comes to this earth to rule and to reign. And Satan, the enemy, the jerk, was bound up in the abyss, in the bottomless pit, chained up and guarded away from the earth for 1,000 years. And that's where we stood, right? You remember? Yeah. All right, if you were here, you remember. So that's where we are. And we have a world that is being led by Jesus. We have a government that is being led by Jesus. We are judges. We're ambassadors now of the heavenly kingdom. But at that time, we'll be judges of the heavenly kingdom. It just keeps getting better and better for us. Isaiah 65, this tells what it's kind of like in this millennium. No longer will babies die when only a few days old. So there will be people that are left after the coming of Christ. And then for 1,000 years, people are going to be marrying, living, having babies, what have you. We're not going to be. We've ascended up and we've gotten our heavenly bodies. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then we're going to be judges with them. So we'll still be human, but we'll be like heavenly humans, which is kind of cool. And then, but there will be just regular people going around. This is what it's going to be like. No longer will babies die when only a few days old. No longer will adults die before they've lived a full life. No longer will people be considered old at 100. That's cool. Y'all are youngins. Look at you. That would be cool. Only the cursed will die that young. In those days, people will live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. unlike the past, invaders will not take their houses. We don't have that. And confiscate their vineyards. For my people will live as long as trees. That's cool. And my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. They will not work in vain. Their children will be not doomed to misfortune. They are people blessed by the Lord. Their children too will be blessed. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. But the snakes will eat dust. That's my favorite part. Snakes still got it bad. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed in my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. That is the world that we will be living in, we'll be judging in. The enemy is away, and Christ is in rule. It's almost like the Garden of Eden. Now, sin had entered into the world. Sin has entered into the world at this point. In the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, there was no sin. And so it was a perfect world in that sense. And when sin came in, that's what spun the world literally into decay, into being cursed. That's how it worked. But Jesus comes to reign. Satan is bound up, and we are living like this. But just as in the Garden of Eden, they had a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they had a choice. Also, these people, all these people of the earth at that time, they will have a choice. Look at verses 7 through 10 here. We stopped off right there the other last week. So Revelation, the 20th chapter, and we're looking at verse 10. When the 1,000 years come to an end, this great millennium that Jesus is leading, Satan will be let out of his prison. He will go out to deceive the nations called Gog and Magog. In every corner of the earth, he will gather them together for battle. A mighty army, as numberless as sand along the seashore. And I saw them as they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people in the beloved city. That's Jerusalem, guys. But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. And here it is. Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet where they belong. I added that. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and all eternity. They go down. That seems awful, but he's been tormenting us long enough. That's what I got to say. So here we are. The 1,000 years come to an end. Satan is let out of his prison. You know, things are going pretty good. Why does God do that? You're reading that, you're like, don't you want to ask that? Why is God doing that? Well, there's a simple principle, and it goes like this. Love is only real if chosen. Why did God put a tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? Because love is only real if it's chosen. You ask a girl out, and this has never happened to me except for 4 or 5 times or 6 or 7 or 10, and they reject you. In fact, my wife rejected me the first time. I asked her out for ice cream, and she had to study. At least she didn't have to wash her hair. That's good. She really did have to study, though. She was like making a B or something in a class. So annoying. Anyway. But you get rejected. It's only real if it's chosen. Love only happens for reality, for reals and with the feels, if it's chosen. So God allows us to choose. God does give us free will. Now imagine these 1,000 years. Say you were born in, I don't know what they're going to call that. We got B.C., and then we got A.D., and then we got after the coming, second coming or something, the A.C. or something. So say you were born in the 15 A.C. You've never known this earth as it is. You've never known the enemy running to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, blah, blah, blah. You've never experienced that. And you live as long as a tree. and you're healthy and Jesus is reigning and ruling, you don't know what that's like. And part of our job at that time, I'll go ahead and tell you part of your job description if you're a follower of Christ and you're judging, is to tell people, listen, at the end of this 1,000 years, the enemy is going to be released. You don't even know who this guy is. But let me tell you what he's capable of. Let me tell you how he deceives. Let me tell you how tricky he is. Let me tell you how he gets into your mind. And you can't even imagine the kind of deception that can happen in your own heart and your own mind. Be alert. Be careful. Be aware. Be ready. Follow Jesus. Worship him with all of your heart. Do not let anything keep you from doing that. Keep your mind and your focus on him. You're going to be basically a preacher in this 1,000 years. Get ready. And you don't have to stand up like I do, but you'll be telling people. You will still be witnessing. You'll be giving the message. We'll be encouraging people to worship Jesus. And yet, after all of that, there will be people, thousands upon thousands upon millions. Keep in mind, they're going to be living a long time, and they're going to be reproducing for a long time. The population of the earth has been completely decimated at this point, but it's going to rebuild very fast and very quickly over this 1,000 years. There's going to be a huge population and hordes of people as Satan is released. And the opportunity is given to them to choose between the good and the evil, to choose the right and the wrong, to choose Jesus and not Jesus, because there's only really two religions, guys, Jesus and not Jesus. I know that sounds kind of not cool in our culture, but if you read the Bible, that's how it works. There's Jesus and there's not Jesus. There's two religions, two real ones in God's perspective. All right, so here they are. You choose Jesus or not, and Satan is going to come in, and he's going to do exactly what we do in our culture. Well, worship Jesus a little bit. Do this a little bit. And he's going to pull these people out, and they're going to be in rebellion. That's what this Gog and Magog thing is. Where is that? What is that? We're trying to put a specific geographical place to it. It's like, you know, if somebody says, man, that dude's a cretin. You know what he's, you know, does that mean anything to you? Have you ever heard that? Or back when it wasn't, when it was still cool to do this, or okay, man, that guy's a barbarian or a savage. We would use that kind of term to demonstrate what their character was like. And Gog and Magog, you may remember in the early part of the tribulation, that was mentioned as well. They went against the city of Jerusalem, and they were defeated pretty badly. These people are deceived, and they have the spirit of deception and rebellion and a heart against the city of Jerusalem and a heart against Christ because they've been deceived by the enemy. Now, you and I understand the battle, but if you've never had to battle like that, this enemy is going to come in and easily deceive people. We've got to judge them, and we've got to teach them, and we've got to help people, as many as we can, not do this, but many will. And I kind of dig it. You watch how God does things over literally the millennia. He gives opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for people to come to him. And he seems very patient. Even if you look in the Old Testament and people say, oh, God destroyed those nations. It was horrible, horrible. 400 years later, after telling them over and over, you're going to be destroyed if you don't turn, 400 years later, yeah, he did. There's this opportunity all the way through. And then you get into the tribulation, and there's like a 7-year opportunity. And witnesses are brought, and people are telling about Christ. Follow him. Don't take the mark. Blah, blah, blah. Even an angel comes along and tells the message of good news. Follow Christ. And yet people won't do it. And then the opportunity shrinks and shrinks. And then we've got this 1,000 years. With Jesus, and it's almost like Jesus is like, I don't know if it's like this, but it's kind of like Jesus is like, all right, I've had enough of this mess. So he goes out to deceive all the nations, every corner. They gather together for battle against him, and they get up on the broad plain of the earth against Jerusalem. And then it's just kind of very simple. But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. It's just like almost like in passing. It's like, I've just had enough. I'm not going to do anything dramatic. We're just going to nuke this program. I've had enough of it. And all of these armies are destroyed at that time. And it's done. And then the enemy, the devil, is sent off to where he belongs, this bottomless pit. And hell, this is what we're talking about here, was created for him. Hell was created for these angels, and we talked about this a few weeks, where they rebelled against God. They even made an attack on heaven itself, and they fought them back, and they were thrown. He was thrown back to earth, and that's when it got really rough on earth. In that last 3.5 years, he was just in fury for those last 3.5 years, and then he was bound up. And can you imagine the fury after being bound up for 1,000 years? He's going to come back with a nasty vengeance. But he's going to be defeated and thrown into this bottomless pit. You hear it? That's your future, buddy. In this bottomless pit forever, forever and ever, where he does belong. We were created with eternal bodies, guys. We were created for God, by God, and until we understand that, nothing in our life makes sense. But he does give us the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He does loose Satan for a while. He allows Satan to run around now at his discretion, but he allows him to run around. We get to choose who we're going to follow. We get to choose whether we're going to say yes to Jesus or not. It's that simple. It's kind of black and white today, but that's how it works. And we were created with eternal bodies. When God created us, it was a gift. And he created us in his image, like him. And part of that image means that we were created with bodies that were meant to be eternal. And when sin came in, now we messed it up and cursed our bodies. Now they're going to die. But our bodies were still meant for eternity. And if you run back just a little bit, you'll see how we were, our bodies, those who with faith in Christ, were resurrected, rejoined with our souls, whatever that looks like. I have no idea. People are like, what you look like in heaven now? What your soul look like? I don't know. I'll tell you when I get there. But we're rejoined. We have the resurrection of the dead. That's us, the seed of our body. And guys, by the way, you're going to be like, what if I was cremated? Well, that's a dumb question. What if you died without an arm? Are you going to like be raised without your arm? Your full body, the seed of you, the seed like an apple, whether you're cremated, whether you're cut to pieces, whether you're beheaded. I mean, a lot of the people in this tribulation had their heads cut off. They're not going to be resurrected with severed heads, guys. This is not zombie, weird, walking dead junk, okay? Don't be goofy. So, but people are like, oh, he's cremated. Is he not going to be like, stop it. The seed of your body is what matters. The DNA of that, and we're discovering more and more of that, is resurrected, rejoined with your soul. You have a heavenly body forever and ever. That's kind of cool. There are heavenly bodies, and then there are heavenly bodies. And that's what we're going to have. As you can see, it ain't there yet. But we will have that. That's the first resurrection. And we were created for eternity. We were created to be with God forever. We were created to worship him forever. We were created to serve him forever. We were created to work with him forever. And it's our joy to do that. And hell wasn't for people. 2 Peter 3:9. I think I have it memorized, but in case I do it wrong, I want to do it injustice. 2 Peter 3:9, you can write this down. The Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. You know, we'll do this till Jesus comes back. That's what he's talking about. No, he is patient for your sake. Why does God not just come back and take care of this? Because he is patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but what wants everyone to repent. The day the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief, then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and it goes on, and judgment and what have you. God does not want anyone to be destroyed. God does not want anyone to be pushed away from His presence for any time. Hell wasn't for people. And this first death, it separates our soul from our body. And what we're talking about here in verses 11 through 13 is the second death, where it separates the soul from the Creator. Look with me here. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from His presence, but they found no place to hide. Nobody can hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were open, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. We'll see in the context here, we're talking about the second death. We're talking about people who have rebelled, have not placed their faith in Christ. All right? The sea gave up its dead, so buried at sea. And death and the grave, those that were buried or cremated or whatever, gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Did you see this? Their bodies were rejoined with their souls as well. This is the second death. It's the second resurrection. Then death and grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And listen, this is in the scriptures. Anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into that lake of fire that was not created for them originally. God does not want anyone to perish. But because He is just, those that don't choose Him and rebel and won't receive Him are sent away just like the devil is. Jesus shouted to the crowds. This is John 12, 44 through about 50. Let me read it to you. This is tough to hear, guys, but I want you to hear it. It's in the scriptures. We don't skip tough stuff just because we don't like it. If you trust me, you are not only trusting in me, but also God, the Father, who sent me. For when you see me, Jesus talking, you are seeing the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, and it is dark, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I will not judge those who hear me but don't obey me, for I've come to save the world and not to judge it. But all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know His commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. I don't want to judge people. I don't want to condemn people. And I'm telling you, there's eternal life. I'm telling you good news. There is light. You were made for eternity. Your body was made for eternity. Your soul was made for eternity. You're going to live forever. I want you to live in the light. I don't want you to be in rebellion. I don't want you to be against me. And that's really the question of the day, is the question that the only question that matters really for all eternity. And again, it's tough stuff. I don't really like to talk about it, except it's truth and you need to know it. The question is, do you want it? We've read about the millennium. Next week we're going to read about a new heaven and a new earth and happily ever after, those who want to be with Christ. Do you want it? We're going to be worshiping Jesus forever. We're going to be worshiping the presence of the Father forever. You may not be singing, guys. It's like, oh, I don't want to sing. Well, fine. I can't sing. Maybe you'll learn to sing. I don't know. But a lot of the times when the angels are talking or the angels are doing things, they're chanting. So if you know how to do a rock march, you can do this heaven thing, okay? We're worshiping Him. We're serving him. Well, I don't want to sit on the clouds and do a harp. You haven't read the Bible then. That's not in the Bible. You're going to be serving him, and you're going to have fulfilling experiences and doing things with your hands or doing things with your minds, and we're going to be working with him, and we're going to be following him, and we're going to be worshiping him, and we're going to be with his people, and we're going to be speaking his word and talking his word and repeating his word and repeating these phrases of his praise forever and ever and ever and ever. And I'll be honest, some people think that sounds like hell. They ain't into it. That's for kids and women. Some of guys say, I've heard them say that. Yeah, church is for kids and women. That worship stuff is for sissies. This is a, oh. Listen, this is a hard thing to hear. If you're not interested in worshiping Jesus now, if you're not interested in hearing his word, if you're not interested in trusting in him, praising him, and that kind of thing, bluntly speaking, God is not going to make you do it for all eternity. Your culture is lying to you. They tell you that you can live however the H-E double hockey sticks you want to and then go to heaven when you die. That's what it tells you. It's a lie. It is this satanic deception. Here it is. It's telling you the truth. It's not fun. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. But it is the truth. God is not going to make you serve him forever. God is not going to make you worship him forever. Ooh, uncomfortable. Listen. If we're going to worship him forever and ever, let's go ahead and do it, guys. Let's go ahead and worship him and follow him. Let's go ahead and hear his word. Let's go ahead and enjoy being together. Guys, don't let anything keep you from being here every week. Don't let anything keep you from worshiping God and hearing his word and growing in him. And right now, even inside of me, I'm kind of like, man, this is hard to say because there's tension in people. You know why? Because we're rebellious. You're not the boss of me. Shut up, preacher. Don't tell me what to do. I'm not. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Let's worship him. Do you want it? Do you want to know him? Do you want to love him? Do you want to worship him? If you don't, God's not going to make you. C.S. Lewis, yes. Chronicles of Narnia, all that stuff. That guy said it like this. And he was an atheist. And he began to read and actually was led to Christ by J.R.R. Tolkien. Yes, that guy. And he said, a philosopher, he says, the door of hell is locked from the inside. I don't want to worship God. I don't want to worship Jesus. I don't want that to be my life. I want to do my own thing or I want to do something else. We get to choose that, guys. And that is the story of the end. Because if evil is going to be eliminated, and we don't, you know what evil is? People have a definition of evil. And that's one of the things that the enemy likes to do. He likes to redefine everything. Redefine it. Just a little bit closer to what it, redefine it. Well, evil. Now, evil is like what Hitler does. Evil is like what murder does. You know what the biblical definition of evil is? Evil. Anything God doesn't want. That simple. It's evil. So, have you done evil today? Probably. Me too. Anything that's not in God's will, God's desire, that's evil. And if God is going to eliminate that, he has to eliminate all that don't want the good and choose the good. And that's tough. And guys, that's why we do what we do here, so that we can empty hell. We can bankrupt that place. God doesn't want anybody to go there, and we will walk over Legos and glass to see people come to know Him. And if you're here today and you don't know Him, that's why we have done everything we have done. Not because we're good people or wonderful people, but because Jesus really does love you. He really did die for you. And this place that wasn't designed for you, this hell, bottomless pit place, where you will be conscious for all of eternity because your bodies and your souls are eternal. That was the gift. But when we rebel, we say no to it, the gift continues. We have an opportunity to know Him, to live in Him, and for the kingdom of God to live inside of us. The kingdom of God is not fully experienced in this place, but you can have victory, and the kingdom of God can be fully experienced in your soul. Not in the millennium, not in the new heaven and new earth, just then, now. Eternity begins now. So let's pray. And I'm going to invite you, if you don't know Him, to receive Him right now. And if you're a believer, pray for those who may not know Him. And if you're a believer, praise God for what He has done for you through Jesus. It's a simple prayer. And you can say, it's not magic. It is no special words, guys. There's no ceremony. It's you and God, and it's real. And you say something like this: God, I have messed up and sinned. I have done my own thing. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died for my sins. And I believe You rose again from the dead. And I believe You're at the right hand of God, reigning now. But I want to ask You to forgive me of my sins. And I want to ask You to be my Savior and my Lord. I commit my life to You right now. Send the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. Send the kingdom of God, be Your presence inside of me so that I can live how You want me to live. I want to praise You and worship You forever and ever. I want to be Yours. And by Your mercy and by Your grace and by Your promise, I receive that gift by Your authority and in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, if you did that, guys, the angels are having a celebration and a party right now because you are a follower of His. You've placed your faith in His. When it talks about this book, the Lamb's Book of Life, they're writing it in right now. You're in, and you're sealed for eternity. And the Holy Spirit is the seal for that. He lives inside of you. And we want to be your family. We want to walk with you. We want to encourage you along. So grab this book. It's called Begin. As you go out, let us know on your communication card. Let us know and, let us walk with you. All right? Let's do that. All right. Awesome. Very good. All right. If you're on this end, if you